coming up to a very special time of year, Martin.
What, your birthday?
And also a time where we can actually see each other in person.
Well,
because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often that we actually see each other in person, because we don't live very near each other, do we?
No, we don't. And it's your birthday party soon,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, so we're seeing each other tomorrow as we record this.
Are we seeing each other, Martin? Are you coming?
Well, look, I certainly intend to come.
Do you hear that, everybody? That was a politician's answer right there, wasn't it? You intend to come. Okay. Wait, what have you got on, Martin, that you're doing that's so important?
I got some other
miss your dear friend Laura's
birthday. I'd love to come.
Okay.
I'd love to come, and I certainly have the intention to come.
Right.
It's just there might be some other things going on.
Right. And I'm leaving it there, am I? Right, okay, well.
If you could, please, just for now.
Party or not, this podcast will still be going ahead. Maybe we'll have fallen out by the next one, though. It sounds like it. But definitely on this edition of Millpois, we're still together.
Millpois is shameful.
Millpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Millpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Millpois. It's the Eurovision fan podcast with myself, Martin, and Laura Cress. And we are talking about the Eurovision Song Contest, as we always are, hopefully in an accessible and fun way. Coming up, by the way, and we haven't done this for a while, so I'm quite excited about it, the return of Trivia Time.
Oh,
so your chance to get some
back.
Euro trivia on a subject which I shall relate to you later, Cress.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that. And also looking forward to chatting to a guy who we met when we were out in Turin. This was the kind of official photographer for City Zenny, the representatives of Latvia, who sadly didn't get through to the final. You might remember in one of our previous episodes, there was an impromptu gig where we went to and we chatted to them. They were so lovely. And we also got chatting to Charlie, the official photographer them, who had like quite an interesting story about how he got involved. So we're going to be speaking to him about his experiences with the band and just what it's like, really, that whole kind of thing, being involved with a Eurovision act. So we're going to hear from him shortly, too.
Yeah, very, very soon, in fact. But first, just a quick word about something that isn't on this podcast, but related to it.
Yes, very much so. Martin, did you know that we have a YouTube channel?
No, not this again. Yes, I know, because I was there when we recorded all the videos.
We do have a YouTube channel, and we've recently been putting up more videos, and basically what those videos relate to, it's me and Martin, you get to see us in the flesh, and we are still talking about Eurovision, but what we're actually talking about for this is we go back and look at acts that did score the dreaded Millpois in Eurovision history. There's quite a few of them. We take each one video per video and we review it and we decide, did they actually deserve Millpois? So that's the whole kind of theme of that, because of course we're called Millpois. We've already done quite a few of them. We've had two UK entries, James Newman and Gemini. Who else have we had? We've had Austria with Mona
Norway
Lisa.
Norway we've had.
Yes, we've had Norway. Quite a few from Norway. And
It's
basically poor old Norway. We did love a bit of Norway. And that's it, basically. They're only about 10 minutes long. Do check it out. It is just called Millpois. Again, you could just find us on YouTube. And it's just another sort of fun addition to the podcast. So if you're not getting enough Millpois content. I know some of you were sad that we moved from the daily format after Eurovision in May.
We weren't sad about that.
We weren't. And it's simply not possible to do a daily Eurovision podcast. I'm sorry, but we just can't do it. But this could be your answer. So check us out on YouTube.
Now then, when Cress and I were in Turin, we heard word on the grapevine that Latvian entry City Zenny were going to be playing an impromptu gig outside a cafe. And we got there and discovered this huge crowd were waiting for them to perform. And they were great. They were brilliant. And whilst we watched, we got chatting to a man called Charlie, who turned out to be in Italy with the Latvian delegation, taking photos of the band, documenting their experience. So we swapped numbers and he's on the podcast. Charlie, how are you? Great to catch up again.
Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's great to catch up. It's always great to catch up.
Well, take me back to that moment then. We were in a beautiful piazza, weren't we, outside this cafe, and Citizeni turned up and there were that crowd. What was your memories of that?
If I remember correctly, I think that was the day after semi-final one, which was an interesting day because obviously that there was no way on this planet that I thought that they weren't going to qualify. Like, that wasn't, they were skeptical. They thought, well, we're going to do our best. We'll see what happens. And I thought, no, you are insane. So that whole day on the 11th, I mean, everybody was, but I was still sort of dealing with the shell shock of like, oh, okay, maybe everybody hates the song. And so going out there and just seeing the reaction, seeing people turn up, people saying like, oh yeah, we actually have tickets for the jury show, but we've missed it for this. And it was crazy to still see there was all that support, even though they had, I suppose, in some eyes failed.
And what was the mood among the Latvian camp then when the result came through that they didn't qualify for the final?
Obviously, everybody was gutted. Everybody was beyond gutted. I actually set up my phone. So I, for the live show, I was not in the arena. I was in the delegation bubble. And I'd set up my phone to record our reaction to qualifying. That is a very different video to what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And it's quite haunting almost. It's like the Netherlands, and then all of us just drop. I will say the reason that it's a bit of a thing that we look back on and laugh is because I was the most upset one in the whole delegation. I was like bawling my eyes out for like 4 hours.
Oh, I was devastated.
I know. And I think maybe it made it a little tiny bit easier for the guys because they were like taking care of me. And I was like, what the hell? You know, you're the ones that have put in all this effort. But no, I was gutted. What made it real, what made it quite devastating for the guys, I think, is our lovely, lovely handlers in Turin, the volunteers, Giacomo, Fran and Laura. When the guys got back from the arena to the delegation bubble, they were crying. And I think the guys feel like, what they said is they felt like they'd let them down. Aww. Which of course they didn't. They made the whole country proud. But you know, I think seeing them getting so upset that they'd only known for 2 weeks, it made it a bit like, oh no, it was horrible.
Explain then, Charlie, because I want to kind of go back a bit here. How did you, as a Brit, come to be the photographer as part of the Latvian delegation working there with Citizeni? How does that happen?
This is a fantastic story. This is one of those stories I feel like I'm going to annoy my grandkids with every time I see them. So, back home, as I'm sure you know, it's not often necessarily you would find a British person who is into Eurovision. And I wasn't into it. Due to the way that my life sort of panned out, I ended up in a relationship with a Swedish girl and I moved to Sweden. So when Eurovision 2021 came, she sort of bullied me into watching the contest. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. And it blew my mind. I was like, well, hang on, it's good. It's really good. What's going on? And then I just, on my YouTube recommended page, this must have been, well, it was the end of March. You know, I just saw Latvia Eat Your Salad. And I was like, whatever, you know, it's a Eurovision song. I clicked it. And, you know, that first 10 seconds, I was like, right, what is this? What is going on?
Yeah.
And I heard the song and some of my best friends of vegetarians and vegans, I sent it around and they all said, oh Christ, okay, well, we don't need to have any more songs this year. We've got a winner. And I'm very lucky that I am an established photographer who's worked with some decent names. And I just reached out. I went on like their Instagram or something and I found an email address. And I just said, look, I don't know how to say this, but I am the best photographer you're going to meet. Let's do something amazing. And I thought, okay, fine. And I'm one of those people who stays up quite late. And it was like 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning. And I got a text. And it just said, hey. And I thought, weird. And then the next line, Citizeni here. And I said, okay. And then it said, we're going to be in London in 3 hours. When can you meet us?
Oh my goodness.
Oh no, I haven't slept. And I was like, okay, I tell you what, I can do it in 4. You know, I set like 30 alarms and I met them and we literally just met in a street corner. You know, we just hit it off instantly, very, very quickly. We went and got food. We took pictures and within an hour we were laughing and joking and we went to London Eurovision party. And what I actually told them was, I know Eurovision is a very expensive thing. For whatever we do here, you do not have to pay me as long as I meet Cornelia. And they moved the earth. They moved the earth to make that happen. I will say we had quite a laugh about that. And they were just really happy with what I did. And they sort of turned around towards the end of the trip and said, look, what are you going to be doing in May? And I was like, oh, I'll check my diary. Oh, I'm free. So, you know, it was a really interesting. I only met them about, like, it was under a month before I went to Turin. So it was a really bizarre thing. But James Bond says in GoldenEye that half of everything is luck and the other half is fate. So I think that's true.
There it is. It was luck and fate. And then you went and you got to go. Give me some of the backstage goss then. What were some of the most memorable moments from your Eurovision experience?
So, the very first thing that springs to mind, the very, very first thing, the thing that blew my mind and really, really shocked me is how much the artists on a macro level have to pay for everything, even things like hotels. And, you know, you would think, well, hang on, surely the EBU just covers that. And even on the days we're performing and rehearsing, you have to buy food. You know, that's kind of fine. But it was like egregiously expensive for countries like perhaps Latvia, any small country like Albania, North Macedonia, that don't necessarily have an unlimited budget. It was like one slice of miserable pizza was like 10 euros.
Oh my goodness.
Delegation of at least 12 people or so at the very least. I would say that delegation were probably spending a good 200 plus euros a day on food. It was bizarre. And that's one of those things I just thought, really, really?
So that's a kind of backstage thing then that you just weren't expecting at all. Give me your most memorable Eurovision moment now then, the thing that will stick in your mind forever and ever and ever.
Okay, this is a really fun thing. I absolutely love Maro's song, Saudade Saudade, as a lot of people do, I think. I was milling around backstage. I think I was about to get food or something, maybe, and I saw her. And I was like, I need to let her know how I feel about this song. And I went and we chatted and she's an angel. She's like a real life angel. And we spoke for so long about music, about life, about the contest. She's literally amazing. Like, oh my God. And we chat and we hugged and we took selfies. And I'd been having a rough day until that point. I had a bit of a rubbish day. And I finally just had sort of like 20 minutes for Maro. And I got back to the delegation and I've not even closed the door behind me in our dressing room. And our head of delegation goes, Portugal's had someone test positive. And I was like, right.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that's that. I'm not flexing. I just went and I excluded myself until the end of the day. Went and got my COVID test and it was negative and that was all fine. I spoke to Mara again about a week later on the day of the first semi-final live show. And it turns out that it was a false positive, but I was bricking it, to be blunt, for like 2 days. It was horrible.
Yeah, I bet you were, because that could have been you, Cook, scuppering the Latvian entry. Well, look, it's been brilliant to hear some of those amazing stories, and you're going to have memories that you're going to have there for life. What happens next, then? You've got the Eurovision bug now. Are you going to be doing it again next year, do you think?
Oh, do you know what? I'm not sure, because I've thought about it and, you know, there were a lot of things, not to be sort of aggressive towards the EBU, there are a lot of things that I just wasn't happy with. I don't know if it ruined the magic a bit, because watching the show on TV probably is the best experience you can get. Being there is amazing, and obviously it was fantastic to meet all the artists, but ultimately I don't know. If the call comes that I, you know, will get hired to work it again, then of course. But after seeing how it works in the back, I don't know if I would go as a spectator. I do think the best way is at home on the TV, and you get untroubled by all the complexities and little niggles that happen when you're actually there.
Well, however you enjoy Eurovision next year, enjoy it. I so appreciate you coming on, Charlie. It was great to meet you in Turin, and best of luck with your next project.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing the podcast, and I'm sure that we will meet again.
Right then, Cressy, time for the return of something that hasn't made an appearance for a little while. Do you know what time it is?
Yes, it is 20...
No. Oh. Again. You've not grasped this. Oh, I will tell. I'll tell you what time it is. It is trivia time!
Oh, right. Okay. It's also 21 minutes past 10. Yes, this is a trivia time. It's the point in the show. You might not know about it if you already just joined us recently on the podcast, but it's where we bring up a little nugget of Eurovision history, a little bit of trivia from Eurovision past, and we talk about it. And there are usually kind of unusual things you might know, you might not know about, even if you're a fan of Eurovision. And so, Martin, what have you dug up this time? What have you got for us?
What I thought I'd do in sort of tribute and celebration of Charlie and his role as official photographer for the Latvian entries, I thought I'd give you some Latvia Eurovision stats here.
Amazing.
Because people love the stats, don't they?
Yes.
Big Eurovision fans, they love the stats. So Latvia have competed in the Eurovision Song Contest 22 times.
Wow.
Of those 22, they've only managed to reach the final 10 times, so less than half they've actually managed to get through, which is a bit of a shame. They've won once, of course, you may remember.
Yes.
They are in fact the only the second former Soviet country to win the Eurovision Song Contest. This was back in 2002. I don't know whether you remember the entry.
I do.
Yeah,
because it's iconic, Martin. The performance was iconic. It was great. It sort of took Bucks Fizz to the next level. It was, of course, I Wanna by Marie N. It's just basically her in a suit, but then they start taking off lots of different outfits in this kind of tango that they're doing, and she eventually has this amazing outfit and she just looks stunning, and it's just a great song. It is quite cheesy. A lot of people criticize it for being quite cheesy, but a lot of Eurovision was at the time, and I think it's a great song.
Yeah, there you go. So 2002, the first and indeed most recent win. Latvia, unfortunately, has the distinction of having finished last in the Eurovision's semi-finals more than any other country, which is a real shame, isn't it? So this isn't finishing last in the final, this is finishing last in the semi-finals. So since the introduction of the semis in 2004, Latvia has finished last in five semi-finals, but not this time.
Oh.
City Zenny, of course, coming in 14th. In the semi-finals, which I thought was out of, I don't know what it was, like 17, something
right,
like that,
okay.
Wasn't it? 17, 18, something like that. Came in 14th. So not last, but also not fantastic. But never mind. There we go. There you are, some Latvia Eurovision stats on this edition of Trivia Time!
Amazing stuff. Trivia Time's back, everybody.
Woo! Yeah.
You can tell when it's back, when we don't have enough to talk about. But we do, hopefully, have lots of stuff to talk about with you, because you've still been getting in touch with all your thoughts about where Eurovision next year is going to be. If it is in the UK, what city? We've still had loads of your thoughts on that, and keep them coming. We do want to hear from you. If you want to get in contact with us, we're on Instagram. We are Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram. And here's what a couple of you have been saying. Now, RT Seaman on Instagram said, I've heard Manchester Arena's booked out throughout 2023, so it's not as if the EBU can handpick whichever city they like. It may be that only London has a suitable arena that's actually available. Well, I did some digging into this because thinking, I'm not sure about this. Where is
and
this
you really
come
don't
from?
Want to walk naked through the streets of London, as you threatened to do if London
Listen,
hosts.
We'll get to that in a moment, all right? We'll get to that specific point in a moment. But I did a little bit of digging to see, well, is it actually booked up? Because obviously it doesn't matter if it's booked up throughout the year. It matters if it's booked up throughout May. That's what matters. You can't be like, well, it's very busy next October. That doesn't matter. I know that's not what RT Seaman was saying, but basically if we look at next year for the MEN or the AO Arena, as it's called now, there's only on the 2nd of May there's Magic Mike the arena tour, which I wouldn't mind going to that.
In fact, anyway. Let's just put that on instead of the Eurovision, yeah, maybe is the answer.
Maybe they could be combined. That would be something, wouldn't it? Elton John's also playing on the 31st of May. But that's it, as far as I can see on the website. So literally, and they're not even Saturdays. So I'm sorry to say all the people who decided that proved that it's not going to be in Manchester. It doesn't prove anything because it's not put up at all. Also, probably on the A47 said, I wager it'll be the Manchester Arena. There's somebody who knows their stuff.
Yeah, okay. Probably on the A47 knowing the situation. Yeah. Can I just bring you a Twitter comment here from Richard Robertson talking about the forfeit that you have to do if it is London and you've threatened to walk naked through the streets of London. Richard, it seems, isn't against that idea. I'm hoping for London, says Richard. I could get to that easier. Okay, fair enough. It says, it's all about you, Richard. Plus, there's the forfeit factor to consider.
Richard.
I don't know, Richard. I don't know.
Richard, you might regret that. I don't know if you. I don't know if that's you're saying that might be a good thing. I don't know, Richard.
I can't see any world in which it would be. But
thank you, Martin. Thank you so much for that. if you want to give us your thoughts on Twitter, we are at Poirnull on Twitter. Finally, email nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Lots of you have been getting in touch all over the place on this. Thank you to Marky Mark who congratulated us on our award nomination. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much for that. Mark and says, I think the reason Glasgow is the bookies' favourite is because the Hydro Arena in Glasgow has supposedly been blanked out for the whole of May next year and would be an ideal venue. And I believe some of the, this isn't what Mark has said, but I'm just saying, I think in the Eurovision movie, they actually used the Hydro Arena as the venue where they filmed it all for the bit of the actual final. He had closed it by saying, thanks again for all your hard work this year. Take care. Well, thank you very much, Mark. And good point with Glasgow. A lot of people looking at these venues then and seeing if they're booked up or not. I don't think that really tells us anything, though, because I do feel like if the BBC were to decide, for example, Manchester was to host it and they did have events, they'd just move it, wouldn't they? Because it's such a big event. It doesn't matter if it's booked up throughout the whole month. People keep saying this thing, it's blank for the whole of, I mean, obviously it's got to be blank, it's got to be, you know, about 2 weeks beforehand it's got to have availability, but that's still possible even if there were events for some of May. As long as it's got maybe about 2 weeks so that they could do the rehearsals and everything, it's still doable. So there you go. We're none the wiser, basically, are we? We're none the wiser as to where it's going to be.
And that sums up the podcast.
I think we end the podcast every episode going, right, so we still know nothing. Great. But there you go. Well, thank you so much to Charlie for having a chat with us on the podcast. Thank you, everyone who's got in touch. Please do keep telling us where you think it should be. Thank you especially to Richard. And we'll be back again next week. Whether Martin and I will still be talking remains to be seen.
Yes. Okay. Well, we're looking forward to how that one's going to go. And we'll see you on the next edition of
Nullpoir!